the glory of the living God. Abola zebra hata bona.
Of this challenging economy, how you will be faring in the next few years. Your destiny is too small before Him. It's too small. This is why we lift His name up all the time. Because when we draw Him to a place, we too, He draws us there. I want you to take 1 minute wherever you are and call God names. Just call Him names. You are mighty. You are great. You are the mighty one in war.
Yeshua, HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Agudet Shema. Yeshua,
Yeshua,
HaMashiach,
HaMashiach,
Judah, Agudet Shema. Yeshua,
your name is higher than the highest, is bigger than the biggest. Your name, Jesus, your name. Your name is higher than the highest, bigger than the biggest. Your name.
Cancer is too small. HIV is too small. Poverty is too small. Delay is too small.
Jesus,
Jesus.
I want you to take the next 10 seconds. The next 10 seconds. I want you to remember everything that has challenged you. I want you to remember everything that has become a mountain in your life. I want you to remember everything that has caused you pain. Everything that has made you cry. If you have remembered it, shout Jesus!
Jesus! Jesus to me!
Side, my life is changing before your eyes. Tell them again, before your eyes, my life is changing. Tell them you will be a witness of what God is doing in my life. Go ahead and give Jesus praise. Please love one another. Love one another and be gloriously seated in the house of God. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3. God has so much for us this night. Our lives will change forever. It's a very popular scripture, and so I want us all to read together. There is something that happens to our consciousness when we read these scriptures together. So let's read together at the count of two. One, two, go. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Please say, through wisdom is everything built. A house, in this context, it is a metaphor to show you, if you are interested in building anything worthwhile, the architect of that structure is wisdom. 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 It's not strength, it's not money, it's wisdom. It is wisdom that gives money a proper use. It is wisdom that deploys strength in the right manner. Everything eventually boils down to this particular thing called wisdom. Please say, I have wisdom. Say, I have wisdom. True wisdom is a destiny built. True wisdom is a marriage built. True wisdom is a business built. And by understanding, it is established. How can you live outside wisdom? How can you attempt to build anything worthwhile without wisdom? Can I share something with you? True wisdom is anything. Don't attempt it without wisdom. Don't try it. I hope you know that the Bible ascribed wisdom to the serpent. Amen. In short, the narrative is that be as wise as a serpent. So Satan has a level of wisdom he also dishes out. And if you are not operating from that cadre, he will dust you day and night. There is something Satan does, the big picture in mind. Satan can make you win for 7 games and finally win the most important game, the 8th one. The wisdom of spirit. Satan can make you think you know what you are doing, make you think you are the one that is doing what you are doing, but behind the string, he is manipulating you. Satan will give you many years to look like iniquity is prospering, to look like sin has an advantage. Then he will cut you off in an evil day when you are not preparing. There is a wisdom in this agenda of darkness. So much so that it is a risk to operate without wisdom. You can't collide against. Can I share something with you? God gave wisdom to a man called Solomon. A wisdom that is notable. Yet before the eye, before the face of this great fallen cherub, Solomon's wisdom was humbled inside time. Satan knew how to begin to puncture that wisdom. He knew how to surround him with pleasure. So much pleasure that the man forgot his God and began to serve other gods. You will need wisdom. Please say wisdom. You know the problem I see in this generation? Everybody, and I studied the biographies of many a man, I have seen that in different generations, everybody that show up believe that they know what they are doing. It is the end of their life that we now know who is wise and who is foolish, because wisdom is justified by her children. It is the offspring, the results of your life that is a reflection as to whether wisdom built you or you were doing your own thing. From the beginning, it looks like everybody is wise because there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. It is the end that we know. There are people sitting here. Satan has set you on a course already. You are already joining that path of foolishness that disguises as wisdom. And so God will be touching some things in your life this evening, and it will require an open heart to receive it. I want you to pray one prayer where you are. Don't let me resist your wisdom, Holy Ghost. Whatever you touch in my life, let it shift. Whatever you want to move, let it move. But by all means, supply wisdom. Supply wisdom to this destiny. Give us wisdom. Wisdom, and thou shalt hear a voice from behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Hey, life is full of many decisions. Many stages of your life require new decisions to be made. You are doomed without wisdom. You can follow people into the grave, follow people into the pit, and go and end up in frustration like the crowd. All wisdom will guide your step. Only you will stay behind. Everybody is running. And they say you are foolish. No. It's wisdom that is speaking to you. He says, wait. Wait. Don't join them. There is a wisdom that is older than time. There is a wisdom that fashioned you from the studios of eternity. There is a wisdom older than any textbook, older than any library. There is a wisdom. I have more understanding than the ancient. I know more than my teachers. There is a wisdom that makes you invincible to Satan. When he finishes his plans, there is a wisdom that exempts you. Yeah. Listen. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Jesus. You know, the book of Proverbs has a way of rendering the characters and personifying some of these, you know, spiritual virtues God supplied to those who journey the path of spiritual progress. And when it came to this particular, you know, hallowed commodity in the spirit called wisdom, the book of Proverbs gave wisdom a particular identity like a woman. He began to speak about wisdom as though wisdom is a lady. And so he said, wisdom cries. Maybe you will appreciate what I'm sharing if we read together. 1, 2, go. She uttered her voice in the street. So she who? Good. So let's continue. 1, 2, go again. Wisdom cried out. She uttered her voice in where? Come on, let's talk now. No, I will not let this one slide. We'll do it again. I'll tell you why. Wisdom crieth. They cry. It means there is an emphasis wisdom wanted to bring to a generation. And this emphasis is on different, in different locations rather. The location where wisdom is bringing emphasis at is at four junctions of destiny. Four strategic junctions of destiny. That's where wisdom went to position her voice. And she was crying. The first position, he says, she uttered her voice in where? Say the street. There's an S there. I want to show you something in the scripture. Say the street. Next verse, very quickly. She cried in where? She cried in the chief place of concourse. I will explain that too. That's location number two. First, she cries in the street. Number two, she cries in the chief place of concourse. Number three, she cries in the opening of the gate. Then number four, in the city, she also uttered her words, saying, what is she crying for? Let's read. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? This is the cry of wisdom. The first location where wisdom began to vocalize her concern for the way the lives of the sons of men was wasted is the street. And the street in this scripture is symbolic of routine, labor, and the journeys of people. I will explain in detail, so just follow me. If you are writing, please write these things down. The street in this context is symbolic of routines, labor, and the journeys of people. Number two place where wisdom was crying, according to the scripture we're reading in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20, is at the chief places of concourse. The chief places of concourse. Concourse means a place of large gathering, a place of coming together, a place of, you know, an assembly. So a chief place of concourse in that context, it symbolizes culture, popular opinion, and predominant mindset. The place where people gather. The place of concourse is a place of culture, a place of popular opinion, and, you know, a place where people gather. And so this is what I want us to look into very quickly. Number three is the opening of gates. The opening of gates in this context stands for transition seasons. Wisdom cried in the seasons of transition, when gates are open. Gates are not open all the time. The time where gates are open, wisdom positioned herself rather there, and she cried. Because the moment of transition will require superior wisdom to be able to maintain the level of, you know, favor that has opened that door for you in the first place. If you are with me so far, say amen. You know, there are protocols to every space. The way you behaved in space A is not necessarily the space, or rather the behavior that space B will entertain. If I move to any palace in the north, there is actually a behavior I must comply with. Number one, I must take off my shoe, no matter who I am. there is a particular, you know, arrangement, a particular status quo, a particular, you know, protocol that I must comply with if I will enjoy favor in that palace. And so, although doors are open, it takes a higher level of consciousness, knowing the rules and regulation of this new space, so that you can maximize the favor that the new season brings you. There are people who are successful in an old season, and then God opens a new door. But for lack of realization, lack of discernment, knowing that things have changed, and so behaviors too must align with this new realm, they are not able to transcend in their mind. And so since transition is not able to happen in their mind, that door that opened, although it was open, their mindset sent them back to where they came from, because every transition requires a higher level of reasoning. Every change of season will require a new version of you. If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. Last but not the least, wisdom crieth in the city. The city there is symbolic of a season of prosperity and rest. You know, the labor of the foolish wearied them because they do not know the way to the city. When you have finally found your way into the city, you have entered the rest you are desiring. You have entered that place of prosperity you are striving for. But there is a wisdom that gives you the capacity to stand in the place where prosperous men stand, so that you will not be corrupted. Not too many people have the capacity to handle a new level of provision. When God increased their substance, they backslide. It is the storyline of too many a destiny. The moment God blesses them, it's almost as though God became responsible for why they changed. Somebody is a fervent Christian, praying, keeping a rigorous routine of priesthood. Suddenly his bank account increased. Not even God can get his attention anymore. He is even telling God, you understand how things are now. He has entered the city. There is a wisdom that schools you about the way to live in the city. But for the sake of how bulky the matters we want to discuss will be, I will only be able to dwell on the echoes of wisdom for the street, because that's the first place wisdom cried. She cried in the street. If you are with me so far, say amen. And so tonight, my attention is wisdom for the street. Wisdom for the street. Her voice uttered, wisdom crieth without. She uttered her voice in the streets. Now we want to look upon what are the things wisdom was particular about as far as streets is concerned. Very quickly, Proverbs chapter 26, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 13. Everybody, if you are here and you are a Christian, let's read together. 1, 2, go. The slothful man says, there is a lion in the way. Listen. The Bible says a slothful man, that lazy man, anytime something tries to challenge him to take his life serious, anytime something tries to call his attention to how he has been slothful in his handling of destiny, the Bible says he has one mentality. There's one excuse in his life. He said, the slothful man said, there is a lion. Now there is a lion. That the reason why he is inside the house, it's not like he doesn't know what to do. He believes that it is wisdom that has kept him inside the room. He does not step out. And he does not step out because he said that there is a lion in the street. Now in this context, what do you think street there represents? The street there is symbolic of whatever work, whatever secular engagement, whatever job, whatever assignment that he needed to commit himself to. They say he withdrew himself from any work. He withdrew himself from being productive. He withdrew himself from being useful. And his one mindset is that there is a lion in the street, that the line of labor can kill you. Yes. You know, there's a man that told his wife that the only reason why she sees him just sitting at home with them is because he wants them to have a father. The things we hear in counseling, that it's for their good. The moment he starts going out, if anything happens, that they should know that it's because he doesn't want her to be a widow on time. So whenever the woman complains and say, why are you not going out? Look at the finance of the family and stuff. The man say, I am helping you people. See, that thing is, there is a lion. Actually, what he's telling these people is that there is a lion in the street. And that it is wisdom that is making me stay here. Wisdom came to rebuke those that kind of people. That they can decide to now form a space, a comfort zone for themselves. Never growing. Never improving. They have actually sunk into a retirement life. Waiting for the day death will come. You can never see improvement. Always sitting, waiting and blaming every other person except yourself for the outcome of your life. This is the first mindset wisdom is attacking. It is actually wisdom for the street. The streets. Wisdom is crying first to the street. And I said in this context, the street is symbolic of what? First, for labor, for routine, and for the journeys of what? The journeys of men. Say the journeys of men. It will interest you to know that as far as God is concerned, as far as His agenda is concerned, there is a particular level of compliance God demands from our life as regarding His principles and as regarding His ways. If you live outside those principles and, you know, go against His recommendation, certainly there will be ripple effects as an attestation in your life that you have violated spiritual ordinance. Part of the things we are looking into this evening is that there is a prerequisite level of labor expected on every man. If you don't labor, if you don't engage, if you don't put the various areas that God gives you some level of ventilation, some level of ability, if you don't put it to work, you make it impossible for God to bless you. You make it hard for God to reward you. You make it so difficult even for blessings to be channeled your way. And so in the light of that, the first area where wisdom cries in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 20, he says, she cries in the streets. The streets, I'm saying it again, is symbolic of labor. Number two, is symbolic of what? Routines. Number three, what? The journeys of men. The area of labor, this is exactly one of the places I would like many of us, you know, I want you to take an illustration. Just imagine, maybe this will better communicate what I want to share with us. Please come, Pastor James. Come, Pastor Emmanuel. Both of them are prayer warriors. Both of them are fervent in the spirit. Both of them are living a just life. Both of them are trusting the Lord that they will handle the wealth of nations. Pastor James, after praying, after all of his spiritual diligence, he goes back and engages a skill. Pastor James, probably, let's say you have a skill. You have gotten yourself, you know, maybe let's say a fashion design space. And then you are doing it. And then Pastor Emmanuel, in this context, finishes from prayer. Immediately after prayer and the study of the word, he goes back home, close the door and says, thank you, Jesus. We just want to bless your name. Thank you because you have been faithful. Immediately after Pastor Emmanuel goes home and begins to thank the Lord, Pastor James goes and begins to walk. Now, every prayer, every study of the word, every spiritual virtue that have been trapped upon his life will begin to settle upon the work of his hands. The first thing God asked Moses, he says, what is in your hand? Because if I'm going to encounter you, I will encounter you, but my encounter will be evident by the things in your hand. Listen, Even when it was time for the prophet to bless the widow, he says, go and gather vessels. There is need for capacity. There is need to create accommodation for what you are trusting God for. There is need to create a channel for the blessing to enter. Now, where would the oil enter? No vessel to receive it. Your business is that vessel. Your business is that container that can host the oil. The oil is responsible for prospering you, but there must be a container to receive it. When witches and wizards and demons want to frustrate a true believer, they make you bankrupt of financial gain, so that in the midst of that bankruptcy, many temptations become potent in your life. Even the things you vow years ago, you will never do. When needs and wants become very pressing in your life, you will be amazed how you rethink the things you once said God forbid to. Because man is known to cave in the face of challenge. When you add pressure to anything, it can change shape. Have you seen a metal? It will look so impregnable, so strong, but supply sufficient pressure. Let heat come on it. Let pressure come on it. Suddenly, even metals can change shape. I'm speaking to everybody here. You are not too strong to backslide. You are not too strong to change. Many of you, Satan just wants to drag your feet carefully in the name of righteousness, in the name of seeking God. And then the challenge with this kind of journey is that at your old age, you will hate God because you will think God deceived you. You will look back at every other person who were able to practice, who were able to deploy the recommendation of wisdom, who went into work, and you will see that unbelievers are living better than you. You who name the name of the Lord. You who pray for breakthrough from morning till night. And then at old age, when you see any young man trying to follow God, you will call them and say, you better take your life serious. You know what has happened to you? You have become an example of a wrong pattern. And somebody look for a container this night, because you must receive a container. The oil is your own. The oil will come. The oil will not stop until your container is exhausted. Not even too many people have one container. What do you have that can host this blessing? The blessings of God is funneling from a realm that is not in tandem, is not in conjunction, a realm that is totally different from the physical world. So there must be a medium by which that blessing can be channeled into your life. This is what work has become. Every spirit knows that if they can make you lazy, if they can make you idle, not even God can help you. What do you think that spirit of procrastination is doing in that family? Just tell me the truth. You really think that spirit is harmless? The real thing that spirit is destroying is the destiny of the people in the family. What you should do today, you will say tomorrow. Next tomorrow, you will say next tomorrow. And you will continue to put it aside until the day where the only one criteria of standing between you and breakthrough is that one thing you never did. Were you? Man of God? Were you not the one that sent me a video clip? A confession of one of these, secret society agents. They deploy them into churches, into ministry, to go and activate zeal without knowledge in the life of God's people, so that you begin to run outside the prescription of scripture, so that you now become a wrong example to God's people, so that you become an example of how unfaithful God can be. Somebody begins to love God. He even had a job before he started loving God. Suddenly, spirits come into his encounter and begin to show him that God said you should leave your job and focus on him. Hi, Jesus. Your job was your stage. That is where your ministry started. Can I share something with you? As long as you are young here, you have no excuse not to work. If you are not working and you are young, you are a lazy man. Very lazy. And there is something waiting for you. It's your end that will show whether you have wisdom. You will now hate everybody. We have too many young people who have become so entitled. So entitled. They believe that their phone will ring. That an alert will just... From where? From where? Every time you are going to check the phone, that you are expecting something. Something from where? Then they begin to hate on any of their friends that is doing a bit well. They believe that there is something in your life that is their own. You will not there's too much entitlement. And Satan is setting us up for a very colossal fall. You will not know yet. The real end is a bitterness against God. Then you will become an instrument discouraging the younger ones. That if you don't take your life serious, the person speaking to you, I've done all kinds of jobs. My life, I have proofs on ground, testimonies. I took a teaching job until I got a sales rep job, until I got a job with Kaduna Electric. I was working until my itinerary became too tight that I cannot combine work and what I'm doing. The joy of waking up in the morning, taking your bath, going out, because if you are idle, you are Satan's workshop. Too many thoughts, too many temptations, you are a victim of. You engage yourself because every spirit loves productivity. There are people here, Satan cannot even use you too, because you are too lazy for him. He's just looking at you and says, God, Satan says, God forbid that I partner with you. So that he tells you to do something, you wait for 3 days before you do it. Satan don't work with those kind of people. He says you are not relevant in light, you are not relevant in darkness. You are just there floating, waiting for a tragedy, a story of regret to tell. Look at your hand wherever you are. Say, I must walk. Come on, say it like you mean it. I must walk. How many people, one single story can change them forever? Yet, you know, there is nothing they do. They sit at home from morning till night, sending people text messages, calling people all kinds of distress calls. I feel see 5K for your hand. What is your problem? What if me, you are asking? What if me too? I am sitting inside room and say, I feel see 5K. Hi, sisters. I know you think I'm talking to the brothers. I will soon go to Proverbs 31. I want to show you the prescription of scripture as regarding anybody with a great destiny. When you engage these principles, the virtue of the spirit you trap on account of your diligent priesthood, and then the labor you put into, even the earth cannot deny you. You will find out that you who have God and you don't have work, you are a victim. You'll be begging people that are supposed to be honoring you. How many people have become useless in the eye of people because you cannot help but beg? Every day you are begging. Very soon they will see your call, they will not pick it. And then you are wondering why you called, there's missed call, they didn't return it. It's not every call they return. There are people's call, when you miss it, your leg will be shaking. You will first send a text message apologizing and saying, I'm very sorry, sir. I was in the bathroom the time you called. Please, sir, can I call back now? Some people, you see the call, you are there, you will not pick it. Guess what has happened? Your mind, your subconscious is registering a particular kind of behavior to some people. You know, this one, every time I pick his call, something leaves my life. Regain your honor after this meeting. Look at your hand and say, I must walk. You know what God says? He says he will bless the work of your hand. Anything your hand did not enter to do, hey, you know, you want God to bless the words of your mouth? Are you joking? Are you joking? He says the works of your hand. Get your hand into something. Somebody will leave this meeting and go and start a training. That training, God says you should do things. Somebody will go and start learning a skill quickly. And there's something the Holy Ghost will do. Unlike the regular person who is learning it, you have an ancient spirit that gives you inspiration. Sitting here, the only thing moving in their life is age, only number, and they sit there saying, I know one day I know that things could change. I know that God cannot fail. I know, unless it's not God that called me. Unless, when you are done with your parable, go and walk. Can I share something with you? People don't treat everybody the same way. Every time I come before people who are far advanced than I am, there is a behavior I enter. They will never see me as a pest, God forbid. They will never see me as a parasite, God forbid. I bless people who are more blessed than me, just to prove to them that I have not come to take from you. I just want to learn the way you are able to fish. then, you know, somebody come and say, sir, I don't know. That's the first time you are meeting this person in your life. The first opportunity. Your first opportunity. You register yourself as a parasite. I don't know, sir, if I can just get 200,000. My landlord is that. And the person just looked at you like play. He gave you quite all right, but you will never see him again. Never. Never. Hi, how many great opportunities we continue. See, this is why wisdom is crying. She's crying in the street. Because in the street is the place of labor. Why are men not laboring? That's what wisdom is crying for. Why is the required level of labor necessary for transitions to happen? Why is it missing in this generation? But the average young man wants to stay in his room and tell you that, oh boy, now stop work. How many Yahoo old men do you know? Don't you know by now that they don't live long? And you, sisters, you know he's the Yahoo guy. He say that you just like him as a human being. That, you know, somebody that the only way he can eat is if somebody is crying somewhere. Somebody that the only way he can provide for you is if somebody else have entered sorrow, and his life is ridden with curses. Have you seen the wicked in the morning? They look like they are prospering. They blossom like the lilies of the field. When you are returning in the evening, you will see that they have withered. Withered. Their legacy is forgotten. You see how they wake up one day and buy. The way they spend money, you also know that there is a bankruptcy of spiritual intelligence. Wisdom have no cry to them in the city. They don't know what it means to stay in the city. So they just wake up and go and buy 3 jeep and 1 saloon car. And he now do like this and snap in front of them. Then you as a girl, you cannot rest. Sisters, look for a brother you can build with. Get your hand into that destiny. Let your hand and his hand raise something. Let it be evidence that without you, this thing would not have been risen up like this. You know why people wake up and talk to you anyhow? They just wake up one day and say, leave my house. Because they knew, they took you from the gutter. You are not a part of anything. You didn't contribute anything. In fact, you came into an already made environment. And so any day they have mood swings, they talk to you anyhow. Small thing, they are threatening you that you are going back to your father's house. Can you send somebody who built the house together with you away? The moment the thought crosses your mind, your brain will recalibrate and say, calm down, calm down. It's not everybody you behave anyhow with. Not too many people are valuable. You still hold your hand. Too many girls, too many ladies say, I want to be your girl's wife. I'm just looking at you. I'm looking at you. The challenge that will come for your life is just few weeks away. I want to be your girl wife. You know what she means? I want people to be working. I want everything to be working. Then me, I will just come and enter a well-arranged place. That is why they use you for ritual. Listen, look at me, please. I don't want anybody to think I'm talking to some people and not them this night. I want everybody to allow their heart to be opened. There is something the Holy Ghost is re-echoing. He's challenging a ruling culture in this time. What is the average slave queen's mental disposition? She is the most entitled person on the face of the earth. Hello. That hello, the next thing that follows is my hair. My hair is due. She doesn't know your name yet. To prove that you are a serious person first begin to spend. Strangers, you don't know them from anywhere. I've not seen anybody as entitled as a slave. And the slave queen is a pandemic. It's a pandemic. It's actually an infirmity. It's a sickness. And it's contagious. It's spreading like a disease. Go to Abuja registry. You will know why I'm angry. You will know why my heart is consumed with bitterness. Bitterness towards this evil. They will prepare from January till December for wedding. They are not prepared for marriage. They will plan the gown, plan the hall, plan how they will impress, how they will intimidate, how they will pepper them, how they will shut down, and immediately they are done with that drama. 2 months later, divorce. You know the problem they are creating? You see, all these yoki yahoo guys and slave queen that keep the principles of proper parenting aside, now they are raising a problem for the next generation. Their children are bankrupt of values, bankrupt of real virtue, and when these people die, they will not be alive when the children will become a problem. You say it's my child, and you are seeing waywardness raised to the power of 10 in a small child, a child that cannot control his anger, a little baby. Tomorrow you will not be the one he will kill. He will kill somebody because they were arguing. Vow this night, I will hearken to the instruction of wisdom. I will hearken. You know, there is so much vanity in this generation. So much vanity. You just go online, everybody wants to show you where they spent their last weekend. Everybody wants to show you the holidays they are traveling to. Everybody wants to show you the bag, the cars that they are coming out of, the various beautiful places that they go to. So anytime they go to any place that is just clean and nice and good light, they cannot help but snap quickly. Once they snap, most every weekend we travel by air, and I see all kinds of strange slave queens and Yahoo boys. Of them, just as they enter the plane, like their first thing is to quickly go and snap, just to prove a point that we don't travel by land anymore. One was sitting in front of me some time back. She just entered the plane. You can tell that she's a stranger here. It's not her realm. It's a stranger. Can I ask you a question? If you enter Keke, do you snap quickly? May Jesus bring your mind to a place where a plane is your normal life. You know, it's poverty, it's real poverty that makes you, anytime something that is not, that just look a bit different, you want to go and show some people that this is Annie, and the people who really have, they are living quietly. So I heard her, she was sitting in my front, she said, living my best life. This, I say, which best life? We are just, some of you pretend, you fake it so much that your destiny helper now thinks that you are the one to help him. Oh, my goodness. Please celebrate my brother. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, quickly. I've seen the beauty of a man who is diligent, a man who gives himself wholly to whatever he does. Diligence itself, when you see him, you know that he does not have it yet, but there is a sign in his life that he will not remain like this for long. You know, ladies have one God-given talent. Ladies have capacity to tell a person who has potential. Any lady say yes to you in poverty, she didn't say yes to the current version of you. She said yes to 20 years to come. She had calculated and said, the way I'm seeing your shoe now, I will ignore this shoe because I know that there is something I can see in your life that has capacity to bring a new version of you. So it is that version I married. Any day you begin to misbehave, she will remind you and say, this is not the man I married. It is that type that when you marry, you have found a good thing. Is that type that can help you. Not one ignoramus, one lazy person just sit holding the STV remote from morning till night in Telemundo, tying wrapper, you know, just moving around here and there, gossiping with the neighbors, fighting with everybody. You come back, all your neighbors are now your enemy because of your wife. I want on the Oga wife. Senu Oga wife. You know, I detest that reality with a burning passion. I detest it. I am awaiting a season where that special breed. And I thank God for the life of many of our ladies here. I thank God for what God is doing with and through their life. That say no to idleness. Say no. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. Very quickly. It is a long reading, so we read very quickly from 10 to 20. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Why did they call her virtuous? It's not because she didn't sleep around. I will show you what they call virtue here. Many things. Her heart, the heart of her husband, doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. You know, spoil is the bounty of war. They have to engage war just to get the bounties from the conquered nation. The Bible says the husband of a virtuous woman, he has no need for all those things. I will show you why as we progress. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Brothers, is this not what you want? That her disposition, her consciousness, is to consciously do you good all the days of her life. That kind of person, when you get up any day and you want to mistreat them, is God that will judge you. Can I share something with you? I know you will not answer. Many people are angry with me already. You understand? But the only way I can answer you is in Hausa. They say, how do we translate this thing now? Bind the Zahid any. If you get angry and you say, we will not come to an Akaso again, there are more than 1,000 people that gather every weekend for my conferences. And so when you are angry, you will see me online still teaching like 1,000 people. You will not be angry. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Next verse, quickly. See where, if you are a lady here, you have to read this one. Let's read together, all ladies. 1, 2, go. She seeketh wool and flax and walketh willingly. Say willingly. Say willingly. It means if you want to enjoy a woman, her walk must be willing. It's not this thing where, you know, your husband forces you into something you don't like doing, and every day you come back, your face is tight, you are just angry, hissing from morning till night. There are people that the husband is forcing them to do business because he wants a productive wife, but the woman doesn't, she's not interested, she has no business interest, no business knowledge, no business acumen, and she's ruining the business day and night. If you interview many men, seeketh wool and flax and walketh willingly with her hands. See, we're talking about hands, you know. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night. So, you see, she's not a sluggard. She's not a slumberer. The Bible says, while it is yet night, her day has started. She takes responsibility for everybody under her roof, including her maidens. She riseth also, please leave my scripture, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. Considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her. She didn't buy it through Oga money. She bought it with the fruit of her hand. This is why her husband is proud. Any day, the talk of his wife comes. Even among men, she stands tall. You know, there are women not even somebody's husband can talk bad about. There are women men respect. There are women men cannot talk to. They have grown in the echelon of progress. They don't have time for gossip, no time for amebo, no time for lazying around. The next thing, the average lazy girl will look and say, this one, now boss lady, which, you are busy. Those of you here listening to me, and your one excuse is that, me, I just want to be a housewife, you know, and just focus on my kids. You know, that is their excuse now. Focus on my kids. I will show you the template. The virtuous woman have kids too. She constructed a field and buyed it with the fruit of her own hands. She planted a vineyard. Listen, see what she does. She girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. It means she encouraged herself. She is not depressed, just saying, I have mood swing. Since I married, it's like my life is on a pause. I don't know the last time I feel alive in the things I hear. There was one woman that sat in front of her husband, both of them looking at me, and she looked in the presence of the man and said very derogatory things concerning her husband. And I began to imagine, would this man live long with this woman? That arrangement you see right there is the recipe for untimely death. What you are seeing there now, he will not live long. Because what will kill him is the constant reminder from the person who was supposed to be his help, suitable. The constant reminder that he's a failure, that he is underperforming, that he does not meet up in any way, that she regrets marrying him. And I watch it in my front like this. Sometimes the cases that come before us are too big for a young man to handle. So you have to recommend another grace. I regret marrying this man, sir. If there's anything I regret in my life, is marrying him. I wanted to ask her, so what are you still doing in the marriage? Some people will not leave you, but they want to frustrate you till you die. It's like, you know, all of these toxic relationships some of us get ourselves into. The guy doesn't want to say it's over. Yet, he is not ready to engage you. He's not ready to take the relationship to the next level. He doesn't want to marry you. He leaves the ring in your hand. Like Abba, for God's sake. When you now remove the ring, when you want to take your bath, you will see a sign. A layer of your skin that is more fair than other layer. To show how many years you have been in that bondage. Girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. She perceived that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. This is her priesthood. This candle detail you are seeing here. She is, although she is industrious, although she is submissive, although she is well balanced, it says her spirituality did not suffer. Her candle goeth not out by night. I don't know any man that if he finds this, he will not marry. Yet, mind you, if you look at everything here, nobody have talked about color of skin. Nobody have talked about hair. Nobody have talked about beauty. In fact, if there's anything said about beauty in this matter, is that beauty is vain. They say in the face of this one, beauty cannot match. But what the average slave queen have? Somebody say, what do you have against slave queen? I don't have anything against them. I'm trying to make you not to join them. What slave queen is the daughters of Jezebel, the children of this world. That's what they are. People who brag about prostitution, brag about living very reckless life. They now make you feel like because you are living holy, you are not social. Like you are tie and buyer. Like you are disadvantaged. They are apostles. They are very loud about the things they are preaching. This is why we must become vocal too, to rebuke them. They come to my status from time to time. They send me a message in the middle of the night. Hi, sir. Their thought is that in fact there was one that sent her picture first and then sent a message under. Hello, sir. This is who is speaking. In other words, check it out. I said, what manner of rubbish is this? See, let me say something now so that it will sink. It is like foes that attract themselves. We don't belong to the same kingdom. That thing you are trying to sell is not attractive to me. The kind of lady that I would like, it is the kingdom, the mind that is in Christ that has molded her. If I see that mind, naturally I'm attracted to those kind. Listen, please stay with me. Remember, we are in verse 18. We will soon finish. Stay with me. Don't be distracted. Stay with me. Look, you go online, expose sensitive parts of your body in the name of, you are trying to be hot. You do videos of yourself in compromising positions. And then you get the attention of more than 10,000 men commenting on your picture. And you say you are popular. You are not popular. You are not even visible. Let me tell you what is going on. A man responds to what he sees. A woman responds more to what she hears. What you are using is, you are just activating a biological pathway. Knowing fully well that men will gravitate towards anything that they see that has seductive line to it. All that 10,000 likes, they are not your friends. They don't like you. The day anything happens to your life, you will see how many people are ready to turn up for you. A slave queen is living in an imaginary realm. She thinks that she's living her best life, that there's love. And you know, they go online and say, I just want to appreciate the love everywhere. Which love? Everybody is trying to eat you. A slave queen come on Sunday and stand and say, I want to thank God for favor. I want to thank God because everywhere I turn and everybody favoring you are men. Just do the mass quickly. Do the mass. Why is it that no girl has ever blessed you in your life? No woman has been a source, a channel God used to bless you. Go and check all your pictures online. All your breast is out like this. Then the first thing men do, hey, I'll teach you something this night. I'll teach you. I will not ignore it. How many men do you think want to marry that person? When a man enters that pressure, that lustful pressure, he becomes like a zombie. Anything you say, he will say it. So they be telling you anything you want to hear. The moment they are done messing up with you, they treat you like rag. You now see them. They finish carrying you in the evening to beer palace. They take you to clubs. You sit there. You are rubbing their beers. You are entertaining them, hanging out with them. When they want to marry, they go and look for one quiet girl somewhere. And then you now say, man has come. You are the scum. Listen, any girl here dating any married man, any girl here hanging out with any married man, secretly in his heart, he is praying that he does not have a daughter like you. You are a bad example of everything. Although he's messing you up now, he does not want to have a child like you. God will help us. She perceived her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Next verse. She laid her hands to the spindle. Her hands hold the distaff. Last, quickly. She stretcheth her hands to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Please, media, help me find the particular verse that says her husband is known at the gate because of her. Her reputation flowed into her husband. The way many ladies want to hide under a man. Her husband is known in the gate when he's seated among the elders of the land because of a woman's stature. A woman. This is what it means to be a help, suitable. That somebody can say, from the day you entered my life changed. Can somebody say that about you? They look at you now and they talk down on you. They look at you and speak anyhow. I want every lady in this house to vow this night, I will enter my true office. This is what God calls a woman. This one. You are capable of helping any destiny you enter. You are not a liability. Nobody should be making you feel like you are becoming a burden to them, because you must discover yourself. We declare war this night. War against idleness. War against corruption. And this is what Satan is working on day and night, round the clock. He wants to conform us to the mold of this world. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9. Very quickly, let me show you something. Time is not enough. In fact, it's obvious that I cannot exhaust the echoes of wisdom on the street. I can't even exhaust it. Please, let's read together very loud. One, two, go. Two are better than... No, wait. Let's read together. One, two, go. Is this in your Bible? Let me show you the next verse so that in case you escape this one. One, two, go. Amen. Amen. Look at me. He started by saying two is better than one. Two what? Listen. Unfortunately, when you go into... Listen, look at me. I need your attention. Look at me. God is bringing wisdom to people now. Unfortunately, when you enter the average home and family, what you'll find is a very hard-working man and a very lazy woman sitting down. Or the opposite will be the case. A very hard-working woman and a very lazy man just going out in the morning to go and drink and come back and ask for food he did not provide for. This is the challenge. I want to show you, according to the principle of kingdom, the solution to poverty was marriage. Part of the strongest solution God created for poverty and lack is marriage. He says two are better than one because two of them have a good reward for their labor. Say their. So labor was not for one person. Let's say you earn 50 and you brought the 50. And they split the 50 into two, it becomes 25. Let's say you earn 50 and your wife brought 30 and it becomes 80. Can you do the math now? Let's say you earn 50, your wife earns 50, and both of you came and added. What does the family have together? 100. You now see the capacity of when two works together. When he says two is better. Not one, two is better. Two hard-working people, two diligent people, two industrious people. Not one diligent and one lazy. It will be plus one minus one. You will come back at the end of 30 days and you will not have any saving. You are just living for bills. brother. Marry your kind. Marry your type. Look at somebody who is dangerously committed to the things you do you like. Don't be begging anybody to like what you are doing. Don't beg them. If you they don't have zeal, they just want to go and rest. Let them go and find their retirement home. Huh? Look. There is a place in love where love as an emotion will now fade. It will fade. That I love you, I love you. That butterfly, it will fade. Then there will be a new kind of love. It's called responsibility love. That one, it is when two of you are together, doing a thing together. And when you see what both of you have been able to achieve together, you will look at your wife with a level of gratefulness and say, where would I have been without this woman? It is at that point that the butterfly has expired, but there's a new kind of love. That one is from appreciation. It's from recognizing her value in your life. You will treat her like a queen that she is. These two are better than one. It's only for good things. When you bring a Yahoo boy and a slave queen, it's not good though. It's what we are still facing in this country. I will not say anything on that. Brother, join me now. We are not playing this. I want to hear you. To regret immediately. This is why if you don't walk with wisdom, your pain will start from earth before hellfire. Until my only guess is you, Spirit, keep brooding over me till I look more like you. Listen. We don't have time. Number two. Still under wisdom for the streets. Number two, routine. Write routine quickly. A routine is a sequence of action regularly followed. A routine is a sequence of action regularly followed. A routine is a sequence of action regularly followed. If you are writing lastly, a routine is a sequence of action regularly followed. You know, a lot of us just live our life to flexibility and creativity. There is nothing that guides the use of your time on a daily basis. Please, I want you to do something very, very important right now. If you have a writing material, write 5 things you do every day. Write it. If you don't have it in your life, there's a problem right now first. Write 5 things that must happen every day in your life. Come what may, whether you are sad, whether you are happy. Write 5 things that you must do every day. And if you don't have, don't pretend. Don't go and write what you know that you are not doing. If you don't have a routine, I want to show you something. Today, God wants to give us wisdom. I leave this thing. We'll do it next week if Christ tarries. I need to, since I have talked on, you know, the various economies that people are putting their hopes on, that it's not sustainable. Let me show you what true favor is. Understanding favor. Write that as a subheading. Understanding favor. Understanding favor. Understanding favor. Understanding favor. Quickly. Holy Ghost, open our eyes. Breathe your life. Change us from the deepest part. And let our life be a reflection of the light that we have captured and trapped this night. In the name of Jesus Christ. A lot of people are trusting God for one open door or another. A lot of people are waiting for their lives to turn around so that they can finally rejoice. A lot of people are banking on one promise or another coming through in their life. And if you check the one singular thing a great bulk of people are praying and knocking on the gates of heaven for, is favor. Please say favor. A lot of times we pray for the favor of God. A lot of times we say we are trusting God for favor, for open doors. But today I want to share briefly understanding favor. There is a doctrine, there is a teaching, there is a school of thought that has omitted certain very important elements from the balanced perspective of kingdom favor. To be able to enter into favor with God, you must meet the terms of God. Favor is not the allotment for anybody. You can't wander your way into favor. As a matter of fact, in the old covenant, once you find favor, an angel would first celebrate you for even getting that level of standing with God. You have found favor with God. So I go back to my last illustration. You now sit down like this quietly. Then your phone now rang. You picked it. Hello. As a lady, you now heard the voice of a woman. Then you guys talk for some time. She said, there's a job. And I'm considering, you know, employing you because somebody spoke to me about you. Now, although they have given a good report concerning you to the person still needed to hear from you. The person still needed to talk with you one-on-one. That call they put to you is to appraise you verbally, to see whether you are what they said you are. So no matter how much God moves doors to open, it is your responsibility to enter. If God opens door, you enter. Not too many people can enter doors, because although favor opens door, there is a particular component of favor called work. I like that in one sound. You know, the things we are doing today require suspense. That thinking, that belief that you will be on your own, everything will be done, then they will call you without knowing you, without doing anything, and just put it on your head, is a joke. It's a big joke. Do you know how many women? Do you know how many girls? Married women. In fact, the last of them offered me a car. A Jeep. And I now found out that she's married. So I said no. Knowing fully well that it is not favor, it's not blessing when there's a condition to it. There are things you collect today, you become a slave for tomorrow. There are things you collect today, you cannot say the truth again. There are things you will eat today, you cannot say what is in your mind ever again. Just stay like this. The guy just sent you 100K. Now it's a car. As a lady, you don't know why God is just favoring you. You know, hey, no, let me not run ahead of my. I must teach this next time. We have 10 minutes to do that. Let me first show you what favor is before I show you what favor is not. In Esther chapter 2, from verse 15, you will see what favor is. Listen, don't worry, you don't have to. When you go home, you will read it. In Esther chapter 2, ask Esther what is favor. Esther will tell you, favor is submitting yourself to preparation for 1 year. They soak Esther inside oils and perfumes. 6 months for oil for purification. Another 6 months for perfume. Every other girl, every other lady. I think we should read it. Let's read it. Esther chapter 2, very quickly, from verse 15. More than 1,000 ladies, 1,000 virgins were selected, and the king only needed one wife from inside them. One. All of them went through purification. Everybody went through soaking in oil. Everybody went through staying with aloes and perfume for 6 months. Ask Esther, why did the king pick her? You will see it here. Now, when the thorn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. When it was Esther's turn, Esther met the particular man that is in charge of keeping the concubines of the king. He knew exactly what the previous interest of the last person that won that kind of context. He knew what the king used to choose what he wanted. It is this man that also mentored the last person that won this competition. Esther, wisest among all of them, submitted herself to mentorship under that man. Every other lady came there with arrogance because they know they were beautiful. But in this battle, beauty is vain. Only Esther went to Haggai and said, because they say, anything you desire, they will give you. Any kind of dressing you want, they will provide it for you. You wear it and go before the king. Esther said, I don't know what to wear. Please, can you choose for me? The man know that this one gets sense. What is the name of the ex-queen? The one that was. It was this man. He was the one that played the role for Vashti to even win too. Only them know the secret desire of the king. They know the kind of dressing he likes. And Esther was able to submit herself under mentorship. And when it was her time to enter, the Bible says she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, gave her. She said, just give me anything that you think will be good for me. Hey, and the guy smiled. He went into the inner chamber and brought the things that are the secret desire. He knows the king. You see what happened? Next verse. And Esther obtained favor in the sight. So Esther was taken to the king Ahasuerus into his house, royal, in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebet, in the 7th year of his reign. Next verse, quickly. And the king loved Esther above all women, and she obtained grace and favor. How did she get this favor? Was it all by the hand of God? No. There was a cooperation from her own part. Favor is predictable. There is a formula around favor. Favor is not beyond your control. You can control it. Your behavior can keep shutting the doors God opened, while other people's behavior can bring them into the door God did not open for them. A very, very unskilled man, a very, very rebellious man, even when God opens the door for transition, if a man who is committed and diligent enough. Didn't I share the story with you guys? Two hairdressers in the same salon, making the hair of a politician's wife. One of them, her dad has been begging her to go to school for years. She said, school is not her thing, until the man died. Now she's dressing hair with another girl. The second girl that was in the shop with her has a diploma. The politician's wife was so happy with the hair they made for her. And it is this girl that made her hair. She now looked at the girl and said, young lady, I like what you are doing. How can I help you? What qualification do you have? One, they just need to carry your certificate. Any parasata, they will fix you. She now stay quiet, like, yeah, say no. This other person that did not plait the hair, that is not the one that did the work. Now say, madam, me, I have diploma. The woman say, bring it. If you are not prepared, if you are not trained, the day of your coronation, another person will stand on your stage. That door opened because of you, but lack of preparation will put your crown on another person's head. How many men went to the village on account of a particular girl? They told them that this one, you will marry her. When you go, you will like her. They now got to the village to go and meet a bad character. So while they are disappointed, looking around, they saw somebody that nothing would have joined them with. The real thing that brought them was another person, but the person was not prepared. In the day where your door opens, it will not close. Somebody will enter. She obtained favor. She knew how to partner. She knew her own role to play. Every other person was soaked in aloes. Every other person was kept for purification in oil. Every other person was beautiful. Don't be deceived. What was the defining factor? Esther submitted herself to Haggai. Let me share something with you very quickly, because time is not on our side. I'll tell you this, then we go. Look at me, everybody, look at me. I need your attention now. There is a particular campaign Satan has against those who name the name of the Lord. And I have seen him deploy this strategy to bring great trees down. Giants have fallen. Mighty weapons have been collapsed on account of this strategy. I want to share it with you. Look at me, everybody. When you become a lady of renowned stature with God, and the devil knows that you are not available in the corridors of, you know, compromise, suddenly your news will start traveling around first. Among men, they will start gisting. They will start talking about you. They will start saying, that one, you know, they comply. Oh. When all of them go to drink, they will be rubbing their beers in the evening and be talking about you. And saying that one, the day where she will catch her. Because they gist about any girl that steps out of the norm. Then the fornicator and the adulterer, he takes sex as a challenge. Anybody that becomes so constrained in the way of righteousness, they take it as a challenge that they are going to bring this one down. When an ungodly man, when he identifies a woman or a girl who has a viable altar with God, he has four stages that they deploy. It is spirits that give them that intelligence. Number one, please, if you are writing, the moment an ungodly prince discovers any daughter in Zion, the first thing he does, he redesigns her reality. That's the first thing. I'll tell you what that means. He came to meet this girl, you know, as a student, or maybe probably as a sales girl, or maybe as a job owner. She's working maybe in a bank. If you are with me, say amen. Hey, I'll tell you these two stories, then we go. When he comes, she's a student. What he comes to do, first thing he does is that he redesigns her reality. And how does he do that? He comes and meets the student and says, ah, how you doing? And she says, she's fine. Then he says, God just put a liking for you in my heart. God. Please say God. Knowing fully well the kingdom she's coming from, that if he does not come masquerading like a sheep, she would discern him from afar and run away. So he comes looking like the package from God. Say, God just put it. This lady will go to church on Sunday and say she just wants to thank God. A stranger from nowhere. That the way God works is supernatural. That just like that, the person just chose to bless. Ask Esther whether favor that she received didn't have it because. Maybe you should ask Joseph whether the favor he received to become a prime minister in a Gentile nation, ask him whether that favor didn't have a because. There was a tax nobody could solve. The secret deposit of God upon his life was able to unravel that mystery, and that became the platform for favor. Please, please, just direct them inside quickly. We apologize. The rain. There's nothing I can do about these things now. We really apologize. Come, let's go up. Please, you can bring seats to the front here quickly. This is why we need to build our auditorium quickly. It's because of, you know, challenges like this. I don't think the rain is even dripping again. Sorry. Alright, let's tidy it quickly. This is why we need to double up on our building. We need to get that done. May God bless the works of our hands in the name of Jesus Christ. And may God put it in our hearts to give. Listen, now, let's finalize what we're talking about. The first thing this ungodly man does, he begins to recreate her reality. Say recreate. He came to meet a student who is living quietly, trusting God for provision. Her father is probably sending her 15K or 20K a month for her upkeep. When the ungodly man comes, he comes and puts 400,000 in her account once. And say, please, whatsoever you need, God has put it in my heart to bless you. Guess what? He will raise the standard of her living supernaturally and suddenly. This lady that used to cook her food before, she no longer cooks. All her meal now come from where? Somebody say ostrich. Her friends, listen, I'm taking you somewhere. Her friends begin to hail her. She now begins to declare payment for other people's bills. Then they say, Kai, you are in a class of your own. Satan has not gotten where he wants yet. What has this man done? He has recreated her reality. Before she knows it, he will say, how can a fine girl like you be trekking? He will send a car. They will bring a car key. And you are there, wondering, asking God, is this you? What is going on? Jesus Christ. Then you will now forget how to trek. You will forget what it means to enter a public car. You will now enter a new realm. All your movement now is by your own private ride as you are cruising around. He will now say, what? How can you be living in a house like this? He will go and pay 2 million naira in an estate that only senators live, and carry you as a single lady and keep there. As all this thing is going on, he has not made any negative demand from you. If you are with me so far, say amen. This is stage number one. He is recreating your reality. He is changing everything that he met. Knowing fully well that you don't have capacity to sustain this realm by yourself. He only wants to bring you to that realm and have you taste the realm and have you get used to the new level of life. Then, stage number two, he suddenly withdraws favor. That was the plan from day one. Now your taste in life is high. Now you cannot go back again. Now you have been exposed to a higher standard of living. He withdraws favor suddenly, and it must be sudden, so that it does not give you time to have transition. at this season, it is you that will start pursuing him. This is the plan from day one. At this season, it is you that will start calling him and say, you have not called me for 1 week. He is trying to bring you to a place of vulnerability. Then that house he puts you, the landlord will come and say, the rent will be due in 1 month. Guess where Satan was planning to bring you to? A place of pressure. There are things they know they will never get from you until they subject you to intense pressure. So they create a pseudo reality. Have you enter that reality, then remove the reality suddenly, then destabilize you, throw you into pandemonium. How many men went into a ritual and then for the first 1 year everything was moving fine, everything was cruising? They say, so if this thing is like this, why are people talking bad about it? They are recreating your reality. The shaking is coming. It's coming. Very soon you will know the real thing they came for. What I'm sharing with you, anybody can be a victim of this thing. A bank manager. I counseled her. A bank manager. Bank manager. Married bank manager. What happened? A customer, very rich man, showed up. Said, I just came to deposit some money. And she peeped into his account balance and saw that he's a billionaire. You know, there's a kind of money when you see it, you don't see it often. She said she put a picture that she snapped at work with her colleagues. They were celebrating somebody's birthday, so she put it. The man, the very, very wealthy man, now went and commented and said, you are looking stressed. Listen, married woman, you are looking stressed. Take 3 million and go and rest. I never knew that you will answer me this way. Oh, I never knew that you will answer. That will be your song as you are singing. Satan is planning a graph. They are smart. They are so wise. The first stage, it looks like favor. There is a way that seem it right. He will come to the bank like this and he will be behaving like he's a very busy man. Very busy. He just comes and says, okay, so you just move, okay, and you can keep the change. Guess what the change is? 1.5 million. So he's recreating her reality intentionally. He is bringing her to a place where if you want to rest, if you are stressed, you use 3 million to rest. What is going on? You are looking a bit malnourished. I'll pay for all expense paid trip to Dubai. And she went to Dubai for the first time in her life on that. And when this thing was happening, her husband was not aware. And it was not a sin because she was not doing anything. But the spirits that are working, they have a plan. A day will come, you will be too grateful. To not offer yourself to those people. She stood in front of me and said, Apostle, to cut the long story short, let me not bore you with details. He eventually slept with her in one of those vacations, holiday. He said he paid an all expense paid trip for her. He had already traveled there. So he now did as if it was coincidence that he too was around. And you know, her defense is already down. Gift upon gift upon gift upon gift. So he slept with her there. And infected her with HIV. Listen. Sometimes you say, but she has money. She's a bank manager. Money there is a spirit that comes with it. You are never satisfied. You have, you want to still have. Then among those who have money, there are cadres. There are people that are wealthy. Other people are rich. So those who are really wealthy, when you who is rich come around them, you will be behaving, you will be answering stuff quickly. Free gifts. The man brought her to a place where when she was offering her body to him, she was offering it like it's a privilege. They bring you to a place of vulnerability. Now the rent is due. Where will she get 2 million to pay that rent from? It is the man that recreated this reality. Now the car that he gave her is having issues. It needs to be serviced. Where will she get money to do this swelling under Tinubu? He is the one that created it. He knows that what he created, only him can sustain it. Where would you find another man who wants to give you 2 million? He has bought you quietly. He bought you subconsciously. Then he withdraws. Remember, from day one, he never asked you for anything. It is when he withdraws, knowing fully well that the challenge around your life will make you look for him. It is when you are looking for him now. Ah. Daddy, where are you? You know you have been calling him daddy since because you believe that it is he's like a father figure. Then daddy will say, do you know number 5? Victoria Island. They are giving you location. You are not the one. So if you are writing, these are the stages so that you can go and advise before we finish, you can give advice to somebody. Number one is to recreate your reality. That's their first step. They recreate your reality. Number two, they get you accustomed to the new way of life. They bring you to a new taste. Number three, they withdraw favor suddenly. It must be sudden so that it will create a shaking. Number four, which is the last, they introduce their main objective. It is at that point you now say, I don't have any choice. Remember, you were living a grateful life before. Remember, your little that you had could foot your small bill before. Now they raise the bar and the standard so high so that you enter a state where you would need to compromise so that you can sustain that way of life. Gradually, they are bringing a daughter of Zion into the way of Babylon. This is how they win. Sisters, brothers, listen to me. It's not every gift that you accept. It's not every gift that you accept. Some gifts are traps. That they bring you to a vulnerable place where you are truly helpless. They are the one that created the high life, but they know you cannot sustain it. So they are waiting for a point of vulnerability. Godliness and contentment is great gain. I need somebody to bow their heads wherever they are. We need to pray one prayer first. Holy Ghost, deliver my soul from this lust, this corruption, this lust that is ravaging the nations. Deliver my soul from this lust, this vanity that is beginning to creep in. Deliver my soul from those who buy souls. There is a transaction they are doing. They want to mortgage your soul.
my everything. You have my everything. You gave your everything. So I give my everything. Take all of me. All of me, Lord. You have my everything. Take all of me. All of me, Lord. You have my everything. Take all of me. All of me, Lord. You have my everything. Take all of me. All of me, Lord. You have my everything.
Somebody will pray. They are already under pressure. There are people here, Satan has built so much pressure on your inside. You will need to pray now. Peace, be still. Peace. Peace. Too much anxiety. Your blood pressure is beginning to rise. They have used vanity to make you feel like you are a failure. You will command your soul. Peace, be still. Need to pray that pressure away. Pray that ungodly desire away. Somebody, you need to pray in tongues. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray until that pressure broke. Those of us who have missed opportunities because of lack of preparations. Those of us who have missed opportunities in time past because of lack of preparation. Can you pray your way into a new visitation? Holy Ghost, open that door again. By your mercy, I open that door again. Are you praying where you are? Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Everything you have opened my eyes to, give me grace to walk in this life. Give me grace to walk in this life. Hallelujah. If you have prayed, now over the works of your hands, everything you put your hands to do, everything God has committed to you, everything you are doing, everything you are trusting God that His favor will come upon, let the favor of God that lives, let it come upon you now in the name of Jesus Christ. May a problem, a challenge only you can solve, may a need only you can meet, announce you in the next 7 days. May anybody who must remember you, anybody who must remember your good deeds of old, anybody who must remember that they know you, anybody who must remember what you can do, that can talk to the King about you, may your God enter their heart now in the name of Jesus. We cast laziness out of your life. Every spirit of procrastination, we cast them out of your life. Between now and the next 7 days, may the Lord create a supernatural intervention in your story in the name of Jesus Christ. I hear doors open in the next 7 days. May the doors you are knocking on, the doors you are knocking on, a fatter be opened in the name of Jesus Christ. Just go ahead and thank the Lord for what He has done. Go ahead and celebrate Jesus for new seasons, new heights, new realities. A transition. Although I have not even thought about that, there's a transition. I see the gate of the city open for people now. I see the gate of the city open for people now. Step into a new season of rest and abundance. I see the tears of people being dried. I see your tears being dried up now. The Lord Himself is drying tears now. Please help that lady, help her. Just bring her. And pray in tongues where you are. Go ahead and make any demand now. Holy Ghost, the news is now. Thank you.
We are going to declare a prophecy before we leave. This is the prophecy we take into our week. It says, the hand of God is upon my life. He's giving me wings to fly, and He is giving me speed to run. Before we go,
Goliath.
Says the Lord, your life is decorated. Go ahead and give Jesus a shout. victoriously changed levels. We have victoriously changed levels. We have victoriously changed levels. If Jesus is now. Hallelujah. We have come to the end of our meeting today. We thank God for His presence. Please, all titers, run forward. All titers, run forward. Begin to package your offerings quickly and pray on them. Pray on them quickly. Make sure you place an expectation. Make sure you place an expectation quickly. It's a new season. Darkness is leaving your life forever. There's a part of this song that is in my spirit. It says, what's darkness at the sight of light, right?
Light of light.
Ever pull away down.
Ever pull away down.
Come on. You are the light of the
I
become.
I am.
Hey, who is darkness?
Let it be pleasing in your sight. Let the wisdom to put it for kingdom cause be supplied to your servants and increase your people greatly. Let their storehouses be enlarged and cause them to move into the overflow. In the name of Jesus Christ,
Your substances are blessed. Your water is blessed. Your barns and your storehouses are enlarged. In the name of Jesus Christ. You can cast your offerings and your tithes as we take some announcements. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. In the grace of God, Project Sanctuary is still much ongoing. We're trusting the Lord to build a citadel of worship that is befitting of, you know, His presence, and to honorably host you. These days of being beaten by the rain, very soon you'll remember them no more. For those of us who can look in the eye of faith, our building is already here. Nothing can stop it. It is here already. And it is such a magnificent structure. You know, I had a chance to see some of the documents with the architects and the details of all the drawings necessary and, you know, the various certifications we need and approvals. And it's such an encouragement, you know, to see what God is set to do in our lives and through our lives. So please, you are encouraged, everybody here and those following us online. You are blessed and you are being blessed by this ministry. Please, make sure you are a part of that project and God will continue to bless us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. By the grace of God, tomorrow evening, we would be in the city of Enugu. Listen for the Fresh Fire Conference 2023 themed the End Time Army. It's holding at the Legacy Event Center. It's a, you know, centrally located place. So if you are within the city of Enugu and its environs, please make it a point of duty to locate that space, as God will be bringing His counsel to us without, you know, mincing words, and our lives will be changing. The revival fire will be ignited and the destinies of men will shift dramatically in the name of Jesus Christ. Immediately after the conference at Enugu, we will be there on Saturday and Sunday evening. We will be rounding up with Enugu. Thereafter, we have another conference at Binham University. It is the National Association of Christian Private Universities, you know, in Nigeria, their annual gathering. It's going to be coming up on Wednesday, so we'll be moving from there to the conference there. Please, we're supposed to have it displayed. Doesn't the media team have that? So we'll be moving to Binghamton University. I think that's Nasarawa State. Yeah, it's a very timely conference. Whoever is on that system should get that flyer. This is the only publicity that I have done for this. So make sure it's projected. Please go and help out. Hallelujah. And by the grace of God, we will also be opening up the portal for registration for everybody who are interested to register as volunteers for the workforce of Zaria Solem Assembly. It is opening up this night. We just want to take maybe 500 workers. So I'll go there and have a training. Me and some of the guys in the team will have 4 trainings with you before the conference. So we'll be opening the portal this night. Especially, this goes out to our online community. Everybody within Zaria and its environs, please, Solemn Assembly is coming to your doorstep. Make sure you avail yourself. We would trust God that the revival fire of God will be ignited in that land and beyond in the name of Jesus Christ. So this night, the portal and the links will be opened for Solemn Assembly in Zaria.
Yeah, that's the flyer for the conference I was speaking about. It's themed the emergence. A lot of, you know, erudite graces of God will be there present. So please, if you are within Abuja, Nasarawa, you know, and its environs, make it a point of duty to show up for that conference. It promises to be such an epochal visitation. And then, God's willing, as soon as we open the portal for the Zaria Solemn Assembly, like I said, we will just take the first 500 people who register, and we'll begin preparations, you know, diligently. So please make it a point of duty to be quick in what you are doing, as time does not wait for us. Also, I want to use the opportunity to also speak on the Abuja Able Minister Conference. That's when? On Thursday? Huh? So why is he here? Alright. Sorry. He's the one that keeps the itinerary. That's why. Okay. So yes, we would be working with that. And then by the grace of God, there will be a little change, a little adjustment to the structure of our meeting from next week Friday. When you come, you will see a little change. It's just in the line of some of the segments that is altered. Is to accommodate the ideas and the instructions God is beginning to lay in our hearts. By the grace of God also, like I've told us, we'll be migrating very soon. We'll be moving to a 2,000 capacity hall. Locations, please, don't clap. Locations still kept, you know, in secret. While we migrate, we're not moving from here in the time of migrating, like moving. This hall, the things we have discussed in secret will now be open. This hall will become a Sunday contact. Huh? And we are also opening another apostolic point in Sabo. So you have the contact here in television that will feed television and one Sunday, you know, Romy and those nearby. Then you have Sabo that will feed that axis there. And so if you are living in Sabo, you don't need to be coming and be stressing yourself. There will be something excellent close to your doorstep with the fire of God to keep the regions fortified for the counsel of God. So here will become a Sunday contact. I will move to the 2,000 capacity hall. That will be the Friday contact. It will be still like the Anakazo meeting. However, on Sundays we have the operations of, you know, other dynamic expressions, and it promises to be a new era, a new phase, a new season of both manifestation and the fulfillment of God's word for our life. So please begin to pray, begin to prepare, because many of you, the Lord will subscript you as part of, you know, his laborers in that particular work. Very quickly also, tomorrow is workers' retreat. Who is excited? I know, listen, I know you are not excited, so there's no need to pretend, huh? But it will still hold by the grace of God. It's very important because these are the things that help us to do an appraisal of the progress we've made so far and to improve on the work on ground. So please, all workers and intending workers, show up, and God will lead us even as he deems fit in the name of Jesus Christ. We have come to the end of our meeting. I want to say a word of encouragement to somebody. Listen. God is doing something in your life that you are not aware of. And God is not obligated to carry you along as regarding everything he is doing. There are seasons of your life where even you will be oblivious to the movements of God, so that at the end, all glory will return to him. Speaking to that person who don't know the next step to take. Speaking to that person who is threatened, confused by how, you know, unassured the future looks. Just rest in the assurance that God holds the future and you will be fine. May God bless your week, prosper the works of your hands, grant you favor on all sides in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. See you next week.